Everyone thinks because I have an hour to preach, they're going to take advantage of it and fellowship more this morning. I got news for you. I'm going to keep going. It don't matter how long you fellowship, praise God. Oh, okay, praise the Lord. We do welcome you again to the Lord's house. And actually, I won't keep you an hour this morning. We're going to talk about Jesus this morning and what he did for us. And then we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper this morning. And we'll be inviting each and every one of you that if you're saved, baptized, scripturally baptized, and living in the will of the Lord to join us in the Lord's Supper this morning, remembering what Jesus Christ did on that cross of Calvary for us some 2,000 years ago. The title of the message this afternoon is Three Crosses. Three Crosses. And I got the message, the title of the message, last Sunday morning, sitting up here on the pulpit when the Sanders family was singing for us. They sang for us last Sunday, and we were sitting up here listening to them, their beautiful singing, praises to the Lord. And they sang a song titled, When I See the Cross. When I See the Cross. And the first verse of that, as they were singing, and I was sitting there listening to those words and the beautiful singing, it said, that first verse said, to me it meant nothing, just a gathering of Jews on a hillside. A typical day on Golgotha, where many have died. Three crosses, three criminals, but yet one was innocent. Three crosses, three criminals, three outcasts from no shame to mind. Until I discovered the cross in the middle was mine. Praise God. When I heard those words, especially in that first verse where it said, three crosses, three criminals, three outcasts. It just hit me at that time. I guess the Holy Spirit knocked me over. Title of my message, Three Crosses. Three crosses for a sake. So thank you, Sanders family. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for his word this morning. When I see the cross, praise God. Is that middle cross? Can you claim that middle cross this morning? I pray, praise God, for that testimony. You that testimony. I pray that you can claim that middle cross this morning. That middle cross that was on the hill of Golgotha there that Jesus gave his life for you and I on. It was called the cross of redemption. My prayer is that you can claim that cross of redemption this morning. Jesus Christ is your personal Savior in your life this morning. As we get started, I have a little humorous illustration for you this morning about the cross. There was the parents of a 10-year-old boy. He was failing his math. Never did well in math and always failed in his math classes. So they enrolled him in a private Catholic school. Now, this is an illustration. We're Baptists. We recommend you enroll him in Baptist Christian school. But he enrolled him in a private Catholic school after exhausting all methods. The youngster stormed home the first day of school, walked right past him, charged straight to his room, locked the door. 2 hours later, he come out for a quick meal, announced that he was studying again, and went straight back to his studies till bedtime. And this pattern continued till the end of the school year, when he proudly walked in to the house and handed his report card to his parents, and they opened it hesitatingly and looked at that report card, and there was a big bright red A on the subject math. He passed with an A on the subject of math. And so the father and the mother, they were excited and happy for the boy. And they say, oh, what was it? What happened to you? Was it the teachers? No. Was it the one-on-one tutoring? No, he said. Was it the peer monitoring? No, the boy shrugged. Was it the textbooks, the teachers, the curriculum? No, the boy said. Finally, the boy spoke up and said, from the very first day of school, I knew that these folks were serious about math. when I walked into the lobby and I saw up on the wall a guy nailed to the plus sign. He says, I knew they meant business. So he got serious and passed his math class. Brethren, because of Jesus on that cross of Calvary, we need to mean business for the Lord.
Amen.
We need to mean business for the Lord. And this just told us, this little illustration told us also some serious things about this, even though it's a humorous illustration. Many of our children in this day and time don't even know what Jesus on the cross means. They just think that's a plus sign. They don't know that's a cross of Calvary, that represents a cross of Calvary. They don't even know, many of them don't even know about Jesus in this day and time. Oh, how we've got to get the message out to these boys and girls about Jesus Christ and that cross of Calvary. And another thing about that cross of Calvary that I celebrate today, brethren, is Jesus Christ is not on that cross anymore. You won't see Jesus Christ on that cross anymore. Our Jesus Christ, as we'll celebrate Sunday, as he come out of that tomb, the tomb is empty. Our Jesus is alive today. And he's ascended back on the throne, the right-hand throne of the Father, making intercession for you and I. He's not on that cross anymore. And Jesus meant, God meant Jesus, meant business, though, about that cross of Calvary. God meant business about it. He provided a way that we can be sin-free, that our sin penalty can be paid for by the death of Jesus Christ on that cross of Calvary. So three crosses this afternoon. You know, the earthly life and ministry of Jesus might be summed up with a simple statement. He set his face toward Calvary. He set his face toward Calvary. Jesus was truly born to die. Each and every one of us, brethren, if the Lord tarries, we're going to die. We're going to die one day. And the Bible says after we die comes the judgment. But truly Jesus was born to die. That was his mission on this earth, was to die for you and I and for everyone in this whole world in payment of our sin penalty. So we're really not going to be preaching a very pretty picture this morning because we remember Jesus this morning. We're going back this morning some 2,000 years. And I want us to picture in our minds and remember and picture Jesus on that cross this morning. He's not there, praise God, but we are to remember what he did. We are to remember what he had to go through. And we want to remember that this morning, this afternoon. This is Good Friday. Good Friday service, praise God. And you might ask, how can it be a Good Friday? How can we call this Good Friday when our Savior had to die? When our Savior suffered all that he suffered for you and I. How can we call that a Good Friday? Oh, we can call it Good Friday because of that Friday, because of that day Jesus Christ went to that cross of Calvary. Now we are free from sin. Now our sins are paid for by Jesus Christ. Now we can call upon the name of the Lord and have eternal life and a life more abundant. Amen. I call that a good day.
Amen.
I call that a great day that Jesus went to the cross of Calvary to pay for our sins. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And it was even a good day for Jesus Christ. Oh, he had to suffer. How he suffered. But Jesus realized that soon his suffering is going to be over. And soon he's going to be back with his Father in glory. Crowned with that glory and honor. Praise God. Good Friday. The day that we remember especially what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary for us. As we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, that's what it's all, this afternoon, that's what it's all about. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 26 says, and when he had given thanks, Jesus, when he was praying, when he had given thanks, he broke it, the bread, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Brethren, we are to remember the Lord's death. We are to remember that cross till he comes back again one day. Remember that cross. And we especially remember it today. This is a special time of remembrance of what Jesus Christ did on that cross of Calvary for us. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Brethren, for God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus gave his life on that cross of Calvary. No one took his life. Jesus gave his life on the cross of Calvary for you and I. He gave his life freely. They didn't take his life from him. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 says, But we see Jesus. Brethren, can you close your eyes and see Jesus on that cross this morning, this afternoon? Can you see Jesus this morning? Can you picture Jesus on that cross of Calvary? Picture him, folks. Picture Jesus on that cross. The blood coming out of him. Draining down his head. Giving his blood for you and I. Picture him on that cross, brethren. But don't go to sleep on me. Open up your eyes. But we see Jesus. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Brethren, Jesus didn't just have an appetizer. He had that full course of death. Our Jesus suffered and bled and died for every sinner in this whole world, that they might be forgiven and be saved and have eternal life. That's what our Savior did for us this morning. Oh, how we remember what he did for us this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 and 19 says, For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Oh, how we try to hang on to gold and silver and the things in this world, the things that are going to burn up and perish one day. How we try to hang on to things in this world. Our Savior was not redeemed with things, folks. You and our sins and penalties, sin penalties, were not redeemed with corruptible things like gold and silver. But our lives was redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. We were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, for your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Our Savior, there was no sin in him. He was perfect. He was that perfect sacrifice. The lamb without spot and without blemish paid our sin penalty. Oh, thank you, Jesus. How we remember what you did for us, Jesus Christ. Crucifixion. That crucifixion was the Roman type of death. Cruel. Cruel death. Inhumane. Humiliating. Humiliation type of death. Excruciatingly painful. It was cruel and unusual punishment. Oh, how we complain today about criminals that have killed and murdered people, raped and robbed people. How we complain, oh, it's cruel and unusual punishment if we put them to death. I tell you, brethren, Jesus Christ suffered a cruel and unusual punishment for you and I. Oh, that crucifixion, the worst punishment possible, worst death possible at the time. And he suffered it for us. Never complained. He was led to the slaughter like a little sheep, never opening his mouth. He did it willingly for for you and for I. Let's remember what Jesus endured on that cross of Calvary. As you've got your Bibles open there to Mark chapter 15 from the reading this afternoon, and also we want to look at what happened to Jesus this afternoon, that we look back some 2,000 years ago, we picture the crowds there, crucify him, crucify him. Oh, just a few days earlier, as Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, praise the King cometh, praise the Savior, praise the King is coming. But now, just a few days later, they're shouting, crucify him, crucify him. The crowds are wanting him crucified. And now Pilate has, here in Mark chapter 15, you see there in the chapter, Pilate has released Jesus to the soldiers. Pilate says, I find no fault in the man. I find no fault in the man. Yet because of the political pressure and the people's pressure to crucify him, he turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be taken out to be crucified. And you see there in the reading how the soldiers took Jesus to the praetorium there, this huge hall. And there's probably up to 600 people, the soldiers that come with Jesus there. And they took him into the hall there. And then there they started to mock him and to beat Jesus, first off. Oh, how they beat our Savior. Isaiah tells us how Jesus would, that if you look upon Jesus, you wouldn't be able to recognize him after they beat him so bad. Oh, they took Jesus, our Savior, and they unmercifully beat him. They took the whips with those leather straps, the little balls and sharp pieces of steel or bone or whatever, and lashed them into his back till the meat was tearing off of his back down to his bone in the back. They beat him unmercifully. You see this crown of thorns here. Oh, how sharp those thorns are. About that long. It was similar to something like this that they plaited that crown of thorns, similar to this. And they put it on his head. See, they were mocking him. They mocked him and ridiculed Jesus and laughed at Jesus, calling him King of Kings, but yet he was. They were mocking him as King of Kings, but yet he is the King of Kings. And they were putting that crown of thorns on his head as mocking him, but he does have a crown of righteousness on his head. He is crowned with glory and honor now. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and crowned with glory and honor. But they put this crown of thorns on his head, mocking him as a king. And they took a reed, a long pole. Not only did they shove that crown of thorns down on his head, that instantly dug into his flesh. Oh, how they pierced his head. And the blood started gushing down his face. And he said nothing. He took it for you and I. And not only did they do that, but then they took the reed, this pole, and they hit him over the head with it. Kept hitting him over the head with it. And each time it's digging further and further down into his head. Bleeding. Painful. Excruciating pain. Oh, how they beat him unmercifully. When you go to a king, and you pledge your allegiance to a king, you kiss him on the cheek as submission, that you're going to be obedient to the king. They mocked him by spitting on him. The ultimate humiliation to our Savior. Spitting in our Savior's face. Beating that crown of thorns down on his head. Beating him with the whips on his back. Until their fun was over, until their sport was over. They did that until they grew tired of their sport, so to speak, the fun that they were having, beating our Savior. Then after that, picture this, folks. We need to remember this as a child of God. Remember what they did to our Jesus. Then after this, they took him out and led him up to the hill of Golgotha, there in Mark 15. And as they got to the hill of Golgotha, the cross, they laid him on the cross. I remember from another singing, the tree that Jesus made. The tree that Jesus made. They laid him on this cross, and they took the spikes and drove them through his hand, and drove him through the other hand, and drove the spikes into his feet. Oh, the pain of our Savior. But yet he never uttered a word. He took it for you and I. And then they lifted up that cross, heavy cross, hundreds of pounds, and they thrust him and Jesus down into the hole, into the ground. And as it thrust down and hit the bottom, you can imagine the weight of Jesus pulling on those spikes. The excruciating pain of Jesus. Brethren, I say all of this that we need to remember what Jesus did for us. We need to always remember how Jesus suffered for us. When we get the temptation, I can't go to church today, I'm just too tired, you remember what Jesus suffered for you. Amen. When you get the temptation, oh, I can't go calling today or on track attack, you remember how Jesus suffered for you. When you feel, oh, I just can't teach my class or do my ministry today, you remember how Jesus suffered for you. Let's remember how Jesus suffered for us. Then as he was on that cross, on the sixth hour, darkness came upon the land. Darkness. Can you imagine? Totally dark now. The middle of day, and darkness has come upon the land. Brethren, this is the time that Jesus has taken the full weight of sin of the whole world upon himself. The perfect sacrifice. The darkness came upon the land. And Jesus, oh, he couldn't take that. He could take all the punishment for you and I in his bodily pain. But the one thing that he couldn't take that hurt him more than any, when that darkness came upon the land, and he's taken all the sins of the world on himself, and God had to turn his back upon Jesus. Oh, how Jesus couldn't take that. Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus had to turn his back upon Jesus when that sin was coming on to Jesus. That sin penalty was being paid and Jesus is about to die. God Almighty cannot look upon sin. God cannot look upon sin. He had to forsake Jesus for that time. And oh, how it hurt Jesus that God had to turn his back upon him. Brethren, it needs to hurt us when we sin and God has to turn his back upon us. We need to feel that hurt that we've wronged God and get it right with the Lord. Oh, how Jesus, for my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God cannot overlook sin, brethren. That sin has to be paid for. Jesus paid the sin penalty on the cross of Calvary. God cannot overlook sin. God never overlooked David's sin in the Bible. David lost his son, the baby born from his sin. He lost that son to death. God cannot overlook sin. He did not overlook the sin of Ananias and Sapphira in the Bible. How they kept money back that they were supposed to give to help the ministry and to help the poor. They held back and lied to the Holy Spirit and lied to the apostles, and they were struck dead. God cannot overlook sin. He had to turn his back on our Savior when he was taking the sin penalty of the whole world. Oh, how we need to remember what Jesus did for us. Now we realize that Jesus wasn't crucified alone. Praise God, he wasn't crucified alone. There was two other crosses on that hill of Golgotha. Three crosses. Three crosses. Mark 15 and verse 25, 26 and 27 says it from our reading. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on the left. Three crosses on that Golgotha there. These two criminals that were on the side of Jesus, they were guilty of their sin. They were guilty of what they had done. They rightly were justified in paying the price of what they had done. They were being punished for what they had done. But Jesus was innocent. And there was a reason and there was a purpose that the three crosses were there on Golgotha. There's always a purpose for everything that God does. Nothing ever happens in this life by chance. God is in control, brethren. Anything that's happened in your life, God is in control. And if you stay faithful to the Lord and to Jesus Christ and remember what Jesus did, it'll work out good for you. Amen. It'll work out good for you. There was the reason for those two other crosses. For one thing, it was prophesied. And what God says is going to happen, it's going to happen. Isaiah 53, prophet Isaiah told it, "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great." That's Jesus. "And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Brethren, Jesus, God provided a way, a last chance for two sinners to come to Jesus. God provided a way that two lost criminals on their way to a devil's hell, about to take their last breath, they were on each side of Jesus. They were given one last chance to accept this Savior. One last chance they had to accept this Savior. Oh, how I can imagine Jesus hanging on that cross there. I can just imagine how he talked to those criminals. I can just imagine what all he said to those criminals. We'll see some of it there. But it's not all recorded. I don't believe what he said. I could just imagine Jesus, even though it's so hard for him to speak. Brethren, Jesus, when he went to speak or to breathe, those spikes pulling on his arms and him hanging over, for him to speak and to even breathe good, he had to lift himself up by his feet. Press himself up by his feet. And all that tree and splinters digging in his back when he did that. But I can imagine Jesus talking to those criminals. "Tell them about heaven, brethren. Tell them about God. Tell them about where he's going to be pretty soon. He's going to be back with the Father in glory. And telling these thieves that they need that Jesus. They need the Savior. That they need to be in heaven one day. They need to be in that paradise." I can imagine him talking to these criminals. Do you tell others about Jesus when you get a chance? Tell them about Jesus when you get that opportunity. It may be their last opportunity to hear about God and about glory. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. And so he provided them that one last opportunity to accept this cross of redemption, Jesus Christ. The three crosses of Golgotha That one cross, I'd say the cross on the left. I'd say it was the cross on the left. It's the cross of rebellion and rejection. And the cross on the right, because in a Bible, the place on the right hand is a place of honor. You'll find out in the judgment in the Bible, he said, the tares on the left hand. I'd say the cross of rebellion was on the left side of Jesus. But on the cross, on the right side of Jesus was repentance and reception. A cross of repentance and reception. And then that cross in the middle that Jesus was on. The cross of redemption. This is the cross that we look to. This is the cross that we remember. This is the Jesus that we remember. That cross of redemption. Praise God. The cross of redemption. The cross of rebellion and rejection is Luke chapter 23, verse 39. In Luke 23 and 39, it says, and one of the malefactors, this was a criminal. He was justly on that cross for paying for his criminal activity. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. That railed on Jesus means, even though Jesus had told him about the heaven, told him about glory, told him about paradise, he mocked Jesus. Arrogant to Jesus, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Insulted Jesus. He was bitter and sarcastic to Jesus. He would have no admission of guilt. Brethren, he was about to draw his last breath. And yet he would not admit his guilt. He would not admit that he was a criminal. He just was mad because he got caught. Most people are just mad because they get caught in their sin nowadays. The Bible tells us, be sure your sins will find you out. Amen. Be sure your sins will find you out. All he was mad about was getting caught. He had no sorrow over his sins. And worst of all, this man on a cross of rebellion and rejection, his heart was so hardened that he wouldn't come to Jesus now. Oh, don't let your heart get so hardened that you won't repent of your sins and come to Jesus. See, there's that time. The time that heart gets so hard that even when you're drawing your last breath, you won't accept Christ. You won't do it. Just like this criminal. His heart was so hardened that even though he knew he was dying, he would not see Jesus and accept him as his Savior. Don't put it off. Don't let that heart get so hardened that you won't come and repent to Jesus. Don't let it happen to you. Don't let it happen to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and 10 says, the sorrow of the world worketh death. James 1:15 says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Here is a man that's reaping what he sowed. He's in hell today, folks, because of that hardened heart and not repenting of his sins. What cross are you going to be on? What cross are you going to be on? Are you going to be on that cross of rejection and rebellion? Or will you be on the cross of repentance? Luke chapter 23 and verse 40 says, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, on the cross of repentance and the cross of reception, he said to Jesus, he saw Jesus. He saw the Savior, brethren. He saw him, and he opened up that hard heart. Let Jesus come in. Let that Holy Spirit come in. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into paradise. He repented of his sins, folks. He received the Savior, And brethren, praise God, he was saved right at that instant and on his way to paradise, brethren. Oh, praise God. Be on that cross of reception and repentance today. Make sure you're right with God before you leave this house today. This criminal feared God. He realized that God controlled his destiny. God controls where you're going to go. He's going to send you. But you're the one that's going to send yourself there. You're either going to make the decision to go to hell, or you're going to make the decision to go to heaven one day when you die. He realized he was a sinner. He repented and asked forgiveness. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name." Lastly, that cross of redemption. The cross that we are standing at today. Are you at that cross of redemption this afternoon? Praise God, I hope you're at this cross of redemption today. That you have repented and received Jesus Christ. This is the cross that we remember today. Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law." Colossians 1:14 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Notice Jesus' response to the criminal that said, "Remember me when thou come into paradise." Notice what Jesus said to that criminal that repented and asked forgiveness and for Jesus to save his soul. Luke 23:43. "And Jesus said unto him, Verily, truly, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Oh, this criminal knew he was going to die. He was about to take his last breath. And Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise."
Amen.
Brethren, we cannot take a chance. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. You may be facing the judgment before this day is over. We have no promise. We have no guarantee of that next heartbeat. Make sure you're right with the Lord today. What cross are you at today? Are you at that cross of rebellion and rejection? Or are you at that cross of redemption and reception? Let's all stand as the song director comes and piano player. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, receive him today. Come to this altar and accept him as your Savior today. If you've been rebelling, even as a Christian, if you've been rebelling against Jesus, not been doing what you should do, come to this altar and get it right. But if you need Jesus today, don't put it off. Come to this altar and let us say a sinner prayer with you and let you know that you'll be saved, saved, saved today as they sing. Don't put it off. Anything on your heart, come and tell it to Jesus right now. You may not get another opportunity.